We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Memories have been made.
Halliburton. A deep three for the lead! And baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away! Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game!
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake, shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
Flips it down!
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go! Go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
All right, everybody joining us now on Setting the Pace. He's no stranger to you guys. He is Bob Kravitz from BobKravitz.com. BK, how's it going?
It's going well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we were trying to get you on last week before the season was over, or before the, I should say, the break came, and you were out golfing, and you were like, I can't do this week, but maybe next week I can. And I thought it was perfect timing just because you were able to get back in town for the All-Star weekend, and just a great representation from Indiana, once again, hosting a big event. I mean, wasn't able to be there for it. I know you were there. So just kind of talk me through what you thought of Indiana as a host once again for a big event.
Well, I thought, you know, as expected, they knocked it out of the park. Now, the weather did not cooperate, obviously. You know, and I can't really tell you about the whole social scene downtown because – one of the problems with covering something in your own city is that at the end of the day, you got to go home,
yeah.
You know, back up to the suburbs, and you can't stay downtown and tear it up. So there was no tearing it up. There's just Bob going home in the snow, on Friday night. And, but the signage, the artwork, everything went, you know, so smoothly. And I know that the writers, you know, except for the weather, the writers appreciated the fact that they didn't have to get in a bus to go somewhere to do all the press conferences as we had to in Salt Lake City. So another feather in the cap of Indianapolis.
So where were most of the interviews held at?
Most of them were either at Gainbridge or at Lucas Oil.
Okay.
Mostly at Cambridge, yeah, in one of the back areas, right by the restaurant there. So it was typically convenient, you know. I mean, that's the thing that everybody loves about Indianapolis. I mean, you know, what's his name? Draymond said, let's not do this in Indy again. And, you know, first of all, shut up, Draymond. But I understand. I mean, you know, the weather was pretty miserable for two of the 3 days, unfortunately.
Well, let's just stay there for a minute, because obviously this is a talking point. I think it's just kind of ridiculous when your NBA on TNT, you know, they're representing the NBA here, and when they're kind of crapping on the city that's hosting, I feel like it's very, very tacky. And I know Draymond is Draymond. He's just going to speak his mind. Charles Barkley the same way. Even Kenny the Jet Smith had some controversial comments that he made over the weekend. But I just feel like I understand why, like, the players might want the warmer weather, but isn't this about the fans, and isn't this about all these cities getting an opportunity to host the NBA there?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I didn't take it personally because it's Draymond, you know, but you're right. I mean, I thought the whole weekend was a love letter to Indianapolis and to the Pacers and the history of basketball in our state. And then for Draymond to say something stupid like that, I thought was out of line. So it didn't bug me. I just figured Draymond being Draymond.
Yeah. Now this is just me talking here, so you can feel differently if you want. I would love to hear your opinions, because for a guy that got suspended and almost retired, Adam Silver had to talk him out of it. For him to go through this long suspension after all of his outbursts that he's had throughout his career, but let alone, like, just once again this season, don't you think it's a little bit weird having him kind of represent the NBA as an analyst at this point, knowing all that he's gone through? Like, don't you think there should be some time to step away from all that and just not really be a face?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the thing about Draymond is, and you know, feel free to disagree, he's really good on TV.
Yeah,
he has really got that media touch, both on the podcast and TV and everything else. I don't know. When you're killing that much time, and I watched some of the pregame show, it seemed like it went on for 7 hours, you know, and the postgame. You know, you're eventually going to say something stupid, but I did find that odd that so soon after his suspension and everything else that he's back in the saddle working for TNT.
Mm. Yeah, and that's just what I was saying, because I like Draymond a lot on TV. I think he's smart. I think he knows the game pretty well. I always enjoy what he has to say for the most part, but I do find it a bit exhausting when, you know, you're just crapping on a city for no reason. Like, okay, it snowed. It's obviously it's the Midwest. It's February. Like, it's a possibility it's going to happen. But at the same time, you know, it's still one of those things where a lot of stuff is indoors. You can connect.
Oh, of course.
Indoors all around, with the convention center being connected and stuff like that. So I just kind of felt like it wasn't the end of the world here, but, you know, we'll just let bygones be bygones here. But I know you did a lot of the going around and talking to different people. Was there anybody in particular that you talked to that you felt like you had a really good story or something you wanted to share?
You know, it was great seeing Reggie Miller. I did the top 75 piece on him. I went to New York, and we did a long Q&A when I was employed by The Athletic. So that was pretty cool. I got a chance to see J.O., and we talked for a few minutes at the ceremony, the tip-off ceremony. Mm-hmm. We ran into one another and talked for a little bit. No great stories, just kind of catching up. It was cool. I got to tell you, it was really cool to see the old Pacers celebrated. I wish Danny Granger would come back, because I think he was a big part of this organization. I don't know the whole story behind that. Maybe you do, but it was just neat to see Neto and Freddie Lewis and everybody like that, see the ABA represented, because that started everything here.
No, that's great, because I love seeing all those guys together on the stage during the All-Star game, getting honored. And I threw this idea at you during the summer last year, I think before the season started, about a Pacers Ring of Honor. And seeing all those guys there, I just felt like, man, this is the perfect time to kind of let you know, bygones be bygones once again, and just kind of like move forward with all the stuff that maybe happened in the past that they were afraid to kind of promote a guy like Jermaine O'Neal a little bit because he was connected to the Brawl. But it seems like they've embraced him a little bit more. Same with Ron Artest, a guy that has, you know, really embraced Indiana. Like, it seems like he is really wanting Indiana to do well for himself to feel better about maybe costing them a championship by doing what he did. But even seeing him in the celebrity game, seeing him around, it was just Del Davis, Rick Smits, like so many different guys just here to represent the state of Indiana. I thought it was great. And Reggie Miller, it really did feel like him and Tyrese Halliburton were the two main faces for All-Star Weekend. And I know that they were running around like crazy just representing it. But how do you think Tyrese Halliburton handled all of this that he had to deal with? I mean, he was a very busy man the last 4 days.
Like a champ, man. He was he did every podcast. He did every, he did everything. I mean, it was constant. I mean, he was on with TNT. He was on with ESPN. He was on podcasts. He did the thing with Woj over at the Vogue. And, you know, I thought he was going to have a rough game just because he's done so much. You know, he's in the 3-point, he's in the skills, he's doing all these, the prom king, as he, you know, self-described. And he had a great game and probably should have won the MVP. I thought he was a champ, and he's just such a great spokesman for the Pacers. Smart guy, you know, really has a lot to say, I thought he was a champ the whole weekend.
Yeah, it felt like he was everywhere, and I think he really was, because I was like, man, I feel bad for the guy. Like, during the celebrity game, he's on ESPN's broadcast, and then he jumps over to Gainbridge, and he's on TNT's broadcast for the Rising Stars. And it was just really cool to see how well he was doing in terms of, you know, embracing this city and being, like you said, the prom king. So that to me was awesome. And then Miles Turner, I think that – he's a guy that kind of gets forgotten a little bit.
He does.
But he does so much good stuff.
Yes. He does so much good stuff with the Warm Initiative and, you know, the homeless population, the needy in our city. He was very involved. I mean, really all the guys were involved in so many different ways. So I just thought that it was great for the Pacers. It was great to see Larry. I haven't seen Larry in forever. You know, having him back and, you know, just seeing Larry, Oscar, and Reggie standing in the middle of the court, representing the state of Indiana was, you know, goosebumps. You know, even for a guy who isn't originally from here like me, but I consider myself a Hoosier now. And to see those three guys, I could – only imagine what it's like for people who grew up here, who were born and grew up here.
Yeah, and we heard about, you know, Oscar Robertson's going to be getting a statue.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool. I was a little bit surprised, though, that Larry Bird only got to say 4 words before the All-Star game started.
Well, that's Larry. That was probably Larry's call. I mean, Larry talked at the brunch. Mm-hmm. Before the game. You know, I mean, if you know Larry at all, he's not a guy who loves the social world. So I would guess that he said quite enough for the week. I thought the Indiana Glory thing, which did you have a chance to watch it yet?
I have not.
Yo, man, you'd love it. You'd love it. The only thing that came out of it news-wise, and he said this before, and I think he's crazy, is Isaiah is convinced that if he was the coach of the Pacers the night of the Brawl, it never would have happened. And I'm thinking, no. Ron was a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
And if it didn't happen then, people say they would have won a championship that year. Yes, they had the best team. But at some point, Ronnie was going to go off. I mean, again, ticking time bomb, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, the X's and O's wise, too, for Isaiah Thomas. I don't know if they would have been as good if they would have been under his coaching instead of Rick Carlisle's too, to make them that special. So
yeah, I agree. I agree with that completely.
Yeah. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is, you know, I've never seen a guy love himself more, honestly.
He's a different dude.
Isaiah. He's funny. He's got a great smile. He's very, you know, bubbly for a certain degree, but I don't know. Some of the stuff he says, I think, is a little bit delusional with what he thinks. And
I would tend to agree. We had our differences when he was here, and I went to school with him. I mean, we knew each other when he was a freshman. I was a sophomore. So we got to know each other a little bit, but yeah, he's a different kind of dude.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So just a lot of stuff going on, obviously. And I know we were talking before we started the podcast a little bit about this All-Star game, and there's been a lot of people frustrated with the product that's being put on the court. And you could even kind of tell in Adam Silver's inflection by, you know, congratulating the East team for having the record most points scored in an All-Star game. He didn't seem very pleased with that. So to me, I really don't know how they're going to fix it. I don't know if you have any idea on how they could fix it, but it feels like every single year after the All-Star game, we always have a talking point to talk right about how bad it was. Is there any way they can fix this?
Well, I don't think money, I don't think there's enough money. Like, money was definitely an issue in the tournament, the in-season tournament, but it's because the guys at the end of the bench were getting a really nice paycheck if you advanced. The guys who are on two ways, they were getting a nice paycheck. These guys are all making max. You know, these are all stars. You know, they're all, you know, sitting on generational wealth. So I don't think money is going to be the thing that's going to get them to play hard. Somebody suggested that you do like baseball many years ago, and the team that wins, that's the conference that gets home court advantage in the finals. But that diminishes the importance of 82 games. If I'm the Boston Celtics and I've got the best record in the NBA through 82 games, and the East lost the All-Star game and we don't get home court in the finals, I'd have a problem with that. So I'm not sure how you fix it. I think it's a culture issue. I just think the players are different these days. There's a reason why there's a 65 game threshold, because there's this culture now of load management and all the rest. And guys just, you know, I mean, sports science has taken over the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree. And I definitely think, like you mentioned, you know, making it kind of like the baseball setup was designed to whoever wins gets home court advantage in the finals. Like, I definitely think that would help, but I think that there'd be more people upset about it.
Yeah.
Than anything. And I also think if someone were to get hurt during the All-Star game,
right,
it would be tough. And what you really do have to realize too is like about 450 players in the league, right? Something like that. And 24 of them are All-Stars. The other 426 are on vacation right now. So I understand why these guys are a little bit like, I don't want to give much because I'm kind of on a vacation right now. Like, this is my spring break, so to say, of the year in terms of like trying to get away from just the monotony of everyday basketball life. And it is a lot different than it was just even 10-ish years ago when Kobe Bryant was still playing, right?
Right. I went back just for the heck of it. I went on YouTube and typed in NBA All-Star Game, and I just randomly picked a year. I picked 1993. I watched about 10 minutes of it, and there's Barkley fighting for a low post position against Scottie Pippen. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, what were there, three fouls last night?
Yeah.
I mean, 1993, these guys were going at each other. They're at each other's throats. So you remember the year that Dwayne Wade broke Kobe's nose?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, look, I'm not asking for that, but just, you know, you're playing in front of Larry Bird and Oscar Robertson and Reggie Miller and fans who've paid a lot of money. Just make a cursory effort. That's all we're asking. Close out on shooters. Try to stay in front of them. Don't shoot from half court or three quarters, quarter, or wherever. Show some respect for the game. Show some respect for the fans who have, you know, because of their fandom, have put you in a position where you're going to be a very rich man, and your family is going to be very well off for many generations to come. So I thought it was bad form. I really did. And I was hoping we might see some kind of effort, and we saw none.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it feels like if one or two guys like at least tried, then other people would like either try back out of annoyance or just try back because it's like, okay, this is how we're playing. But I think right now it's just like, and maybe this will change once LeBron and Kevin Durant retire. Maybe you get some fresh blood in there that kind of want to prove themselves. Like maybe Victor Wembanyama, when he starts making it, will try really hard and everybody will try to go up against him. I think part of the problem too, Bob, is just you see everybody now all the time. And I think back when TV wasn't as big, like you didn't right. have a chance to watch all 82 games of your favorite team. Like, sure, you could listen on the radio, but you couldn't watch every game. And so now that you have access to every single game every single night, you know, it's not special to see these guys on TV, where back in the day, I feel like it definitely was. You know, this is your chance to be on cable and kind of promote yourself and promote your brand. I mean, everybody promotes now in the social media era. So I don't think the game needs to go away. I've heard a lot of people say, like, just get rid of the game. I don't think that needs to go away. I just think the players need to kind of look in the mirror a little bit and say, okay, let's put on a better show. Let's make this we can play a pickup game harder in the summer than we're doing this right now. So let's at least just play like a pickup level style of play where we don't undercut people or try to foul, but at least we're playing semi-defense. You know, I just – the half-court shots with Dame and stuff like that, it's just like, you know, Luka took that one terrible shot, like, way away. It wasn't even, like, trying. It's like, if you're not even going to try, like, why even show up? It was the same thing for me with Anthony Edwards shooting left-handed in the skills challenge. It's just like you're disrespecting the game a little bit.
That's exactly right. No, I – it I just thought it was bad form, and you come to Indiana, which is not the birthplace of basketball, but it's a place where basketball really developed and became popular. And I think you do a disservice to Indiana, to the greats who were there. They showed. I was watching on TV a little bit, and Oscar Robertson looked disgusted. Mm-hmm. I would not want to put on that kind of performance in front of Larry, Oscar, and Reggie. I just we all thought that they had looked in the mirror after last year's abomination in Salt Lake City, and then they went out and did exactly the same thing. So I just think it's part of the NBA culture now.
It makes you wonder too, could Adam Silver have like a conversation with some of the leaders and say like, hey, we got to step this up moving forward. Like if not, we're going to have to change something up, and I don't know what they do, but it feels like maybe if he has like a couple one-on-one meetings with like some of the bigger faces.
He already did, Alex. Him and Joe Dumars met with the players and the teams prior to the season. Halliburton talked about it and basically told them, look, guys, we got to put on a decent show. And they didn't.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a major sign of disrespect for a guy who I think is the best commissioner in sports, and of the major sports. And that's why he was so pissed off after the game. Like, well, here you go. Here's your damn trophy.
Yeah. No, you could tell he was ticked. That there was no doubt about that. And I appreciated him having that tone of voice, just because I think that like a public display of disappointment goes a long way behind instead of just doing it behind closed doors. I did not know that he had talked to them before the season started, but like,
yes,
it's an interesting thing. I don't know. I think someone's going to have to come in and just change the culture of it. And I think a player is going to have to do it. It's really up to them. I don't know how they fix it, but
Peyton Manning was very instrumental in making the Pro Bowl a little bit more competitive for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So that's what you need. You need one of these new blood guys. And because right now the new blood, they just want to go along to get along. I mean, Anthony Edwards shooting left-handed, he talked after the game about not taking it seriously. Even Halliburton talked. A couple of weeks ago, I asked him about, how do you improve the All-Star game? And he said, he probably can't. There's only so much you can ask of guys who are going through the grind, especially when playing 65 games is so important and means so much financially. So I understand where they're coming from, but gosh, I don't know. I'm just a big respect the game guy, and that was disrespectful. Not only to the game, but I thought to the host city and to Adam Silver, who expected better.
Yeah, especially if you talk to them before, like, and you talk about it, like, he is a beloved commissioner by the players because he has done a lot to give the players a lot more of a say in what's going on. And I feel like he is the players' commissioner more so than David Stern ever was.
Oh, sure.
I kind of wonder if he might be part of the problem too. You kind of wonder, would David Stern allow something like this to happen? What would he do to change it if he were the commissioner versus Adam Silver? Because Adam Silver just kind of seems like the nice guy that goes along with everything and just wants to make the players happy. But you rarely see Adam Silver kind of like reprimand players or anything like that.
Well, if you noticed, one of the things the players complained about was that the player draft before the game, they were just standing around for an hour while they're doing the draft. And then they did the big Cecil B. DeMille productions during the introductions. And if you notice, the introductions were shorter and less flashy, less gaudy this year. And I think that was a nod to the players to say, look, we're not going to make you stand around for an hour and a half getting cold and not being ready to play. So I think the league tried to accommodate the players, but the players did not accommodate the league.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. It's just I don't know. It's broken, but I think it's fixable. It's just going to take some time to do that. So moving on, obviously, a lot of great stuff happened this weekend, but looking forward to the rest of this season for the Pacers. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts on how you feel like this team has looked since they've acquired Pascal Siakam and maybe what your expectations are for them the rest of this season.
Well, they've got, and correct me if I'm wrong, don't they have like the third softest schedule in the league?
They were close to that. The last time I checked, they were like 25th or 26th. So
okay, yeah. I mean, but those are the teams that have been giving them problems.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they beat Boston. They've owned Milwaukee. They beat the Knicks in New York. Beat Philly. But they have problems with Portland and Charlotte and folks like that. I just think they need to grow up a little bit. I think Mathurin needs to, you know, use this weekend as like a jumping off point to raise his game. You know, I think they're moving in the right direction. You know, you've got Philadelphia is going to slowly disappear. You know, from the near the top of the East. So I think it's perfectly legitimate to say that the Pacers could be the fifth seed or maybe even the fourth. But, you know, I like what they're doing. They just need to be a little more consistent against bad teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that I just looked it up. So they have the 19th. Toughest schedule remaining, so
all right.
just out of that bottom third for easiest schedule left, but right there in the mix. So you're right, they do need to compete better against the teams that are terrible, and you can't have lapses against a team like Charlotte, which they've done twice this year, Portland twice this year, Washington, the Washington Wizards on the road. Like, I mean, sorry, that you just should not lose that game no matter how bad you're struggling. So yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I think that once Halliburton is fully back, it'll be interesting to see if he's fully back. He looked pretty springy in that All-Star game and All-Star weekend. It looks like he's starting to feel like himself again. So hopefully we can see the Halliburton we saw earlier in the year when he's skipping around and dancing and having a good time. But I think right now it's just at one point I had looked it up and Siakam had played with like six or seven different starting lineups. And he's played like, I don't remember how many games, but I was like shocked at how many different starting lineups he's already been paired with just because the Pacers have had so many injuries.
Right. I mean, I think Siakam's been exactly what you expected, but you know, I just don't feel like we've really seen him and Halliburton completely mesh yet because of the time restriction and the injury. But once those guys pull it together, I think this could be a really, really dangerous team. Assuming they make the playoffs, I think they can be a really dangerous team in that first round.
No, and I agree with you there. I think they're going to be tough. And we saw Halliburton put on a show last night in the All-Star game. We've seen Halliburton do it time after time. So I'm excited to see what he looks like when the spotlight's the brightest on him in a playoff series. And I don't know where they're going to finish up at, but it just feels like they are destined to play Milwaukee in the playoffs this year. I don't know if you feel that way or not, but it feels like everything from the All-Star game to the Pacers beating them 4-1 in the regular season. Like, it just feels like this is brewing into, okay, they got to play each other in the playoffs.
Well, it would be perfect. I mean, with the whole, you know, ball situation and then the idea that Lillard hogged his way to the MVP over Halliburton, it would be great, great theater. You know, I mean, look, Milwaukee's going to be a different team in the playoffs, but, you know, they don't play. You talk about the Pacers, Milwaukee doesn't play any defense. So I think it could be a really extraordinary series between those two teams.
I totally agree. And I was laughing because so many fans hate the Bucks. I mean, it was just great to see fans in the field house booing Dame when he won. The MVP, I enjoyed that. They booed Jaylen Brown when he did the terrible D. Brown replica dunk. That wasn't awful. Even close.
That was just awful.
Oh.
And, yeah, I mean, so it was funny. I mean, Ernie Johnson tried to, you know, cut into some of the booing, but with no success. Indiana fans are smart.
Yeah,
they know he was just chucking to get the MVP. So And yeah, it should have been Halliburton, but, you know, I guess I'm a homer.
Hey, I'm a homer too. I mean, with the efficiency, even Skip Bayless said it. I mean, why would Skip Bayless hate Damian Lillard? I have no reason for that. But
I'm agreeing with Skip Bayless.
A lot of Pacer fans were. He was pretty adamant that Halliburton was obviously the better player than Damian Lillard.
God. So. Well, I have to rethink everything now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dame hit the half-court shots, and he was chucking, and he had 11 more shots than Halliburton overall, but Halliburton only had 1-3 less than him, 10 to 11. So, I mean, it was, you know, Jaylen Brown said it best. Like, he thought the hometown guy should have got it. But this Bucks rivalry, though, I was laughing because at the Woj pod, at the Vogue, it was so funny because Halliburton was talking about growing up being a Bucks fan, and Woj was, like, you know, trying to avoid saying the Bucks were not a good team. And Halliburton just said, yeah, the Bucks sucked when I was a fan of them growing up. And there was someone in the audience that said, yeah, they still do. And I thought it was hilarious. I think that the fan bases are going to be just absolutely insane from both sides if this is a playoff series.
It's been great, you know, the last couple of weeks going to the field house, and the crowds have been terrific. It's just nice to see Pacers fans activated again. The way they used to be, and I can't wait for a playoff series because it's been way too damn long.
Absolutely. So I'll leave you with this one. You talked about Benedict Mather, and hopefully, you know, using this All-Star weekend to kind of, you know, take that stepping stone into the rest of the regular season and really kind of carry that bench load, because they need him to do that with how they've had to reassemble after the Buddy Hield trade. So the rivalry that he has with Jaden Ivey.
Wow.
I love it. I think it's great. But I also know that they play each other Thursday when they first come back. So that'll be must-see TV for Pacers, Pistons. You wouldn't usually say that with how bad the Pistons have been. But just like, what were your overall thoughts on Mathurin being mic'd up and talking trash to Ivy, and Ivy, you know, totally changing his face, and then Mathurin hitting that step back three over him and just really making sure he let Ivy know that, hey, I think I'm better than you.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I like the fact that you've got some Pacers, you've got some dog in them, you know, and I think every team needs a guy like Mathurin, who's got a little bit of that edge, a little bit of that angry, you know, approach to things. No, I had no problem with it, but he better deliver against Ivy. That's all I'll say. He better deliver.
Yeah, I will say this. It felt like, since Rick Carlisle wasn't at the All-Star weekend, Mathurin felt a little bit more loose.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And he was a lot of fun the whole weekend. He really got into it. Even the media availabilities, he was a little looser than he normally is.
Yeah, usually he just says, yeah, for sure, it was fun. Yeah, it was fun. That's what he always says. And I'm like, man, can you just open up a little bit? And I definitely think his LeBron comments, like when he was just talking, like being funny about, and LeBron's going to prove he's better than me, like pre-draft, ever since then, and like how that like blew up, he's been really reserved in what he says.
He has. And reminds me of Roy Hibbert. Roy was great with the media, and then he said some stuff that got him in trouble, and all of a sudden he clammed up.
We don't want that. As media people,
tell the truth. Tell your story.
Yeah. And that's what I like about Halliburton. Like, he's so like thoughtful with what he says, and he's not afraid to kind of like just say like what's on his mind about things, because he doesn't really have anything to hide. Like the whole like Bucks game ball thing, like he could have easily deflected that and just kind of moved it on. But like, I like that he's gone in depth with like different people about it and how it happened, and he's not backing down. I just appreciate the authenticity from him, and I think Turner slowly becoming more open as he gets a little more comfortable here being the go-to center now.
Yes, absolutely agree. Yeah, Miles is very, I mean, he's authentic, but he's guarded.
He is, yeah.
He's guarded. You know, he doesn't want to say the wrong thing, which I can appreciate, but sometimes the really smart guys say absolutely nothing because they're smart enough to know that sometimes media gets it wrong. But, you know, I think Miles is, I enjoy talking to Miles. I really do. Mm-hmm. I especially enjoyed talking to Halliburton and his two voices.
Well, yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, those of us who are around him a little more frequently, obviously the beat guys are around him all the time, but he has two voices.
Yes.
He's got two different timbres to his voice, if that's the correct term. Well, it is now, I guess. But it's the most bizarre thing. McAfee brought it up on the show the other day, and he's like, yeah, people have told me that.
I mean, I will say this, as someone that's heard him do it during a post-game press conference or whatever, you just can't really call him out on that. Pat McAfee is like one of the only guys I think that could actually call him out on that.
Oh, absolutely.
What was that?
Yeah, no. McAfee was. He's like, do you know you have two voices? Yeah, that's not something that I see Dustin Dopierak saying anytime soon.
No, I mean, can you imagine him saying to be like, so Ty, what's up with the two different voices? Like, how would that go over?
Which voice are we going with in this interview?
Yeah, to me, I feel like the deeper voice is not really his voice. I feel like he's like trying to like use that as his voice. And then he gets caught like with the higher pitch one. And I feel like that's more who he actually is. I don't know.
I don't know. It's all too confusing for me. At least he says interesting stuff.
Yes, that's all that matters. And I've had like people like reach out, be like, is Tyree's voice like, is it changing or is it the mic? And I'm like, no, it's definitely changing. It's not the mic, but it sure sounds like there's like a mic issue with it. Like the audio's messed up or the frequency happens. It's very weird.
I've got to do that story someday.
You have to do it. But Bob, I've kept you too long. I appreciate your time. And
no problem, buddy.
Coming on here, chat with me. Anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
No, just bobkravitz.com. Read me, subscribe to me, and make me happy.
That's all we ask. And Bob is enjoying his night as he's sipping the night away. So we will.
As always.
We'll be back tomorrow for more episodes of Setting the Pace. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you then.